This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Episode 6, Christmas for HBO's Divorce. Stay tuned. We've got Talia Balsam on the phone.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, we're waiting for our music. Hi, AfterBuzzers. We're supposed to have a little drummer boy.
There it is.
Just have a moment of silence here. Thank you so much for that, Josh, our amazing engineer today. But Wes, this is from that scene with Robert at Christmas, who is pushing Francis with much force to do the right thing at the worst possible time. So welcome everyone to episode 6 recap. I'm your host, Oriana Leo. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Oriana Leo and on Instagram at Oriana Leo. And rounding out my lovely panel today,
this is Constance Dunn. You can join me on Instagram at Constance Dunn and Twitter at Constance Dunn, keeping it simple.
I'm Miriam Gonzalez and you can find me on Twitter at Miriam L. Gonzalez.
This is Fern Ronay. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Fern
Ronay. She wins! For consistency. Yes. If you guys would all retweet our live, we are live on YouTube right now, you guys, so feel free to ask any questions on YouTube or on Twitter, but let's get into this episode. So Talia Balsam, a.k.a. Dallas, will be calling in very shortly. We are so incredibly excited to speak with her. But first things first, let's do what we normally do, take the temperature. What did you guys think about this episode?
Thumbs up. Fun, very fun, comedic. It's the line that we always talk about with this show, with drama and comedy, and it really tilted right into the comedy, but still underscoring the reality of what's happening.
Perfectly said.
Yeah.
I loved it. It was funny. It was everything you imagine, everything that you would, you know, you would hope that... what Christmas is.
Yes.
It's what Christmas is. Yes.
Thank you. Very well said. I think for all of us, you know, Christmas can be fraught, whether it's family members that we don't really want to see or, you know, truths that we don't always want to accept. So what I love about this is that we open with the ridiculousness. Like, we open with Robert, who is literally saying, whoa, I didn't know you could get that from a math test. You know, what's the deal with that wreath? I'm going to put one together, and it'll be like a botanical centrifuge. Fern's having some mic difficulties right now. It's all right. This is what happens when you're live on the air. It's so exciting. So we get this botanical centrifuge is like the, how we start off the show. I love that because it's ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
And sometimes that's what people do when there's maybe not a lot happening inside. There's a lot happening on the outside.
Right.
Plenty of decorations.
Right. And they were bought them at Target, right?
Nothing wrong with that.
Thank you very much. Do you guys feel out Christmased by other people that like go big with their decorations, or are you one of those people?
We barely decorate because we go home for Christmas, and we're like, "What's the point? No one's coming over."
Right. I think the last time I decorated, I wrapped my golf clubs with, like, lights. And I was like, okay, we're good.
I like that.
Less mess.
Golfer over here.
Yeah, I know. That's sassy.
What about you?
I have LA-itis, just like everybody else. I do very little. I usually head back east, so very little. But it's always fun, like a real wreath or something. It's, like, usually small, but I try to make it meaningful in some way.
And, you know, we don't have kids, right? Yeah. And this episode really is about family and kids and how trying to do the right thing. You know, sometimes mistakes happen, as Robert says. Mm-hmm.
Expectations, too.
Yeah. Talia, are you on the line?
Yes.
Hi, welcome.
I was eavesdropping on your Christmas
fantastic
conversation.
Well, this is Oriana speaking. Thank you so much for joining us, everyone. This is Talia Balsam, a.k.a. Dallas, on HBO's Divorce. Welcome.
Hi.
So we're thrilled to have you, although this episode wasn't exactly your episode. We really only got to see you for a moment in the most uncomfortable of situations. But we all know you from different parts.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Of your career, I have to say Mad Men was probably my favorite and the closest to me. What about you guys on the panel? How do you know Talia best from her performances?
Well, I know that Talia has a big legacy in theater and acting on both sides of her family. For those who are watching and are not as familiar with some of her earlier work, you know, she's also, her father is Martin Balsam, and also her mother was Joyce Van Patten. So a huge legacy on both sides of the family of theater, acting, New York, as well as just a lot of very, very classic films. And I'm so curious just to have you, because you are somebody who has worked in television for a long time, lots of theater. You seem to have done a very good job of having a life outside of entertainment, theater, acting, etc. How did you do that consciously?
You know, I think at some point, I would say originally probably no, but I think it, when I had my son, I made a choice to live in New York as opposed to Los Angeles, and I think at that point, I mean, New York is still a place where you work, and you know, I mean, it's not like I moved to Alaska or somewhere in my business, but it was sort of, I think at that point I was like, I'm going to live where I want to live, as opposed to where there might be more jobs or... You know, it all made sense to me at that point. But a lot of the times earlier on, I was very, very, very split. You know, my father lived in New York. My mother had I grew up, went to high school in L.A., and there was just this big split for me. I'd come back to New York to try to do a play, and then you know, there was work in L.A. for me at that point.
No, Polly, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just want to confirm that you were a child of divorce just as myself. Is that correct? So you were split.
Was I a child of divorce?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Did I read that you were a child of divorce?
Oh my God! Yes.
So this is what you're talking about.
Parents many times.
Right? Is that split? Is that you had one parent on one coast and one on the other?
Yes.
Okay. Carry on. Sorry for interrupting.
No, of course. To clarify, my father stayed in New York, and my mom moved to Los Angeles because also an actress, and there was a lot of work there, and. You know, he remarried and had another family, and she remarried. You know, I think between them, without, you know, there might have been 7 marriages, but...
Romantic!
But before me and after me. So that's what resonates to me about the show, too. I mean, I think I have a lot of, I don't know what you call it, bird's eye view into that from a child's perspective, you know?
Well, absolutely. And this whole show is, I mean, we've been laughing and kind of crying along with it of the really painful moments, and it just sort of gets, I think we're now at a point that we really are rooting for Francis and Robert, maybe not to stay together, but just as humans, right? Like, we relate to them. And I recently read an article by the creator that was talking about how, you know, Francis has these really, like, these great friends that are also kind of awful and give her really awful advice. And I wanted to know your take on Dallas. Do you, like, how do you see her in relation to Francis in this whole world?
I felt, it's funny you said that, because I think I might have read the same thing, and I was like, oh, no.
She's not that bad.
I think that, they're very, I think Dallas wants to give advice, but it's actually advice that Dallas probably wishes she got, and it probably hasn't got a lot to do with Frances. So, I mean, I think Dallas is in a certain place in her life where she had a certain experience, and I think is colored by that experience, and so, you know, there's just sort of a big banner of divorce, but it's not really specific to Frances, but it is specific, you know, so it's a little, you know, like that was her experience, right?
Right.
So I think she speaks to that. But always, I think, well-meaning. I really like, I like Dallas. She's very human and flawed and just out there. You know, she's, I feel like you're meeting all these people at certain points in their lives that they may not have been like that before, and they may not be like that after, you
right.
know? I think it's just high stakes.
It's like a window.
Mm. Yeah, it's a little window into, you know, I mean, for Dallas, I'm just like, she's now dealing with the having a son and at home who's a certain age and being alone and, you know, just dealing with what that is.
Quick
and I
question.
Think that can be,
does Dallas, from this episode, from this little tiny moment that we get to see, are we? Am I understanding correctly that her son really wants to go live with his stepdad so that he can get jerked off by his girlfriend? Because it kind of seems like that. So he can fool around without being...
I think he gets a lot of freedom with his father, with his stepfather, you know.
Right.
I think he's dealing with that. You know, I think a lot of stuff from that was maybe not a lot of stuff what we shot, you know. So I think you might not... I think a lot of that kind of didn't end up in the episode.
Right.
But... so it's probably not as clear.
But we're going to learn more about her as the in the next few episodes, right? Is that what I read?
I think so. You know, I'm watching it in real time like you are. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming, you know, it's interesting to watch it and see, like, what's evolved and what stayed and what didn't, you know, because they're trying to, you're trying to get the story through first. So I'm sort of seeing, like, it in the same way that you are.
Right,
because
she has an interesting backstory. She's been widowed. She's been divorced. So she's had her, she has an interesting story. So I want to learn more about her, but I think she's such an interesting character. Like you said, she has her flaws. So what would you say is her, probably her biggest flaw? Because they're all looking for the same thing. They just want to be happy. What do you think is preventing her from finding that?
I think right now, just, you know, right now she's just not as happy as she could be. Mm. And I think she's trying to figure it out. And I don't know that she has an outlet for that. I think a lot of things have happened. I think she's dealing with the consequences of it. Mm. I don't know how much responsibility, you know, I haven't learned that myself, but it's like how much responsibility, but it's sort of like, here's what's on her plate today. And,
right.
And maybe with what does her future hold for her, you know, but I think she's smart and funny and all those things. And I think, you know, like we all do, we'll find our way and maybe you don't see her at the best moments of her life, you know.
But that's what makes it interesting.
Yeah, she seems a little bit to be left behind, right? Like she was left behind by a husband, right? And now her son's moving on, and there's this. It, maybe it's empty nesting, but it's also like you've got all these really solid relationships that are now not there, or they have changed shape, right? And they look and feel differently, and like to sort of feel like you're standing there and everything's passed you by,
right?
Exactly. And I think she wants to help Frances desperately and help her navigate, but I think, again, you know, sometimes some of that advice might be self-serving,
right?
You know, or just like I think there were some scenes that aren't there where Frances was spending the night and at her house, and you know you want company.
Right. Yeah. And there is something that you do very well with this character. You project that. So whenever I see Dallas on the screen, I immediately think good. It's like a relief because she projects that of a good friend that any woman would like to have. So speaking back.
Oh, I'm glad.
Yeah. So you've done a very good job just doing that, you know, non-verbally. So, you know, some of your earliest roles, as I understood, were in very classic TV like Taxi and Cheers and Happy Days. So there's then, and then there's 2016 HBO Divorce. What's very strikingly different? What's very strikingly the same?
Great
what do you miss?
Great
what do you
question.
Love?
Constance wins the
well,
question.
I mean,
she does.
I'm sorry.
They like that question.
They like the, so I get to, they're going to take me out for an ice cream sundae tonight.
I feel like, you know, when you're 20 and you're looking for jobs and that's what, those are the jobs that were there. That's why I said, you know, it's sort of like why I would go back to New York. It's like, you know, I was very, those TV, that, you know, sitcoms, and that was, those things were like doing a play. I enjoyed that very much, you know, and that was available to me at that time, you know. You know, that was mostly what television was, and that's changed, you know, even my when we did K Street, which was on HBO, you know, I mean, things change, but I don't feel it's that different, you know. I just always sort of feel like what's current, what interests you, it could be a play, it could be a sitcom, it could be television, but, you know, I feel like I've always gone where things have interested me.
Good.
Were you thinking, were you saying that these sitcoms were kind of like a play because of the multicam aspect?
It did, to me at that time, doing those things felt like doing a play,
right? So for all the people, at home, a lot of these situation comedies are shot with multiple cameras and multiple camera operators, right? And they are taking different angles, and the writers write and rewrite and rewrite, and the actors and the whole team goes through the same episode every day for an entire week.
So it's an audience
on a few of the days to test the
jokes. So that I always liked.
Right. Mm. So that really is a different experience than a single camera, it's like a movie, show, right? Which is much more like a film, yeah.
Very. I mean, this is much more like doing a movie, except that it, you know, it really does move faster also. I mean, television is faster.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that.
Interesting. Yeah. Faster than a play, faster than a film.
So I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you.
No worries. Faster than a play? Faster, like, pace than a film? What would you compare it to?
Well, sometimes films are really slow. Mm-hmm. And you can spend, you know, if you do television, you could do 3-4 scenes more in a day, mm-hmm. depending on, you know, schedule. And sometimes, you know, big movies with big budget or whatever, you can spend, you know, one day on one scene, which
right.
is a luxury.
Sure.
But it's, you know, that's a different kind of stamina. They all require like a different stamina.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
You know, and they're all different, but they're all, at the end of the day, it's like, what are you portraying? What, you know, I mean, that's basically what you're, you know, doing.
Sure. So the show is called Divorce,
yeah.
And, you know, on our panel, we're all women here, and we all believe in Ask Her More. But I did want to ask you, you know, how have you ever felt like you've been defined by your spouse in this business or in general? Because you have such a storied career, you're obviously clearly brilliant and smart, and we're so happy to have you, but a lot of the times we're overshadowed by the men in our lives.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think, I don't even think as an actress, I mean, I think people, that I think that happens in a lot of lines.
Everyday life, absolutely.
Don't you? I mean, I think it's very... You know, like if you go in a room, people sort of focus sometimes more on, you know, the man or what he's doing, or, you know, and I think that's just sort of ingrained a little bit.
Sure.
I'm not saying all the time, but I mean, you're both married, right?
There's four of us. I'm divorced.
I'm
We've
married.
Got two yeah. other marrieds and a non-married.
Yes.
And do you feel that way?
Sometimes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Sometimes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And it goes back to something about Dallas's character and the portrayal of a woman who, again, we talked about being left behind in that sense. And it's portraying a position that perhaps many women are in and is not often portrayed a lot in the media, but is very
yeah.
real. Especially we see that divorce among people that are more mature is increasing. So there you have also, it's an interesting societal position that more and more women are choosing, but you just don't see them portrayed a lot.
Well, I think about, like, I have friends who are single and mm-hmm. certain age, and you're like, they have to walk to parties by themselves.
Right.
I mean, moving around in the world in a very different way.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I think it's hard.
I think it is hard. And I was just thinking about I grew up with a single mom. And
yeah.
I know what a hard time she had because other women saw her as threatening. And so she didn't get invited to a lot of places because they didn't want her to take her husband because, of course, she was beautiful. Right?
Right.
And so, like, there was a sort of, I think it was a very lonely experience for her to be single in a married world.
Mm.
And I see that for Dallas of, like, mm-hmm. you know, maybe singlehood isn't necessarily the right word, but like to not be attached in a world where everyone expects
mm-hmm.
that.
And right.
How
and
you
then
define
to keep,
yourself.
Have your son be a certain age and not be involved with them. They don't want you around.
Right.
So, I mean, I have a son the same age, and it's like, we're very close, but they're, you know, they're moving in another direction, and mm-hmm. that's also very poignant, you know?
Right, right. As a mother going from being the center of that little yeah. baby's mm-hmm. world to yeah. sayonara, Missy.
Yeah, totally, and that's what you want, you know, it's right. what you want, but it is very much like, and if you don't have a mate or whatever, you know, you're going, okay, and I do think that's what you're saying is interesting, is like, what will she do, or, you know, I mean, she has a profession, and mm-hmm. it's, you know, but it would be interesting to see where that goes.
Mm-hmm. We were surprised by her profession. Did that surprise
she
you?
Is I don't remember. Psychologist, psychotherapist?
Yeah, I think you're supposed to be.
One of those?
It's very well done. We were surprised.
Yeah, we were very surprised.
Yeah, yeah. Because she doesn't seem like she should be helping anybody, right?
Well, here, my mother's a therapist, and so I can speak that. You know, some of the most complicated people go into that profession, right. and you would never know.
Exactly.
I want you to ask this question, Constance.
Oh, okay, yeah. right. So the advice, we were talking about Dallas now giving her good friend Frances advice that Dallas wishes that someone had given her along the way. And I'm wondering, given, just because you're so interesting as a performer, because you've been in the industry for so long, and it's almost like, from what I gather, that you just were studying and observing and really enmeshed in this world since day one. And is there advice that you want to give people who are either performing and or in this world, that, you know, something that you don't think is put out there as far as when it comes to the advice currency?
Advice you wish you had.
Yeah, advice that you had wished someone had should have given you. And believe me, you were, from what I understand, you were in it. But
the advice, and would you have taken it?
Yes.
Well, I was lucky. I got great advice, because I got advice from people who were involved in it and were doing it for their own reasons, as opposed to, like, you know, you get a lot of advice when you're younger, like, you know, if you don't do this by the time you're 30, give it up, or
right.
if you don't, you know, and you're like, I wasn't really told that, you
good.
Know, it's
oh,
sort
good.
Of like, you're in for the long haul. If you're in for the long haul, then you're in for the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I observed, maybe what I would tell, you know, people is, you know, there are sacrifices that you have to make. It's not, it's very, you have to learn how to separate your, you know, personal, like, these things and going out, and, you know, it sounds very typical, like, rejected, blah blah blah, but it's like, you know, you have to really have a good sense of yourself and try to maintain it. It's hard to do, right?
Yes.
Are you saying because, and I might be reaching, are you saying because of this, what can be a predatory type of environment for women?
More just like, you know, you're not right for, you know, there's a lot of, like,
so much rejection.
Passing you know, like, you're not right for this, and you're not right for that, and, you know, but to not take that too, you know, too much to heart, because,
okay.
you know, for me, I was like, along with a lot of the good things, there are a lot of things that are, you know, hurt, like, you know, rejection and all that stuff, and you're like, but I always thought, you know, there was a job coming up. I always, you know, felt like there was a future.
Which is really important,
yes.
I think, for success. So, Talia, we're going to move on a little bit and talk about this episode. We'd love to have you stay on the phone with us. We'll be wrapping at 6 Pacific time. Would you be willing to stay, or should we let you go at this time?
What did you just say?
We're going to wrap up. We're going to wrap up our interview and move on into our recap of the episode. And we'd love for you to stay on with us and give us your feedback. But if you have to go, we will graciously let you go. Now.
Oh, well, I'm happy to stay on if there's questions, but I'm not in it, so I don't know if I can help
you.
Yeah,
no,
much.
We'd love to just hear your feedback. We have about 20 more minutes to our show, so we're so happy to have you. So this episode is Christmas, right? We see that Robert, for some reason, really, like, I don't want to say for some reason, he clearly is bonded with the family, right? Like, he's really close with their family. He may not have his own family. But what is the temperature on this? Because I feel really manipulated by him, that he went on a fishing trip last year and he doesn't seem like he cared at all. And now he wants to be the one that, like, saves the day. Or what do you guys think about this?
I think manipulated sounds like the right word.
Yeah.
That he, yeah, all of a sudden he loves Christmas. All of a sudden he wants to be with her family. He went fishing last year. Are you kidding me? So I think he's feeling the sense of loss too. Like, he doesn't care about Christmas. He just doesn't want to be alone. It sounds like his parents, like he said he called his parents. It sounds like they're far away.
Yeah.
So he's vulnerable, doesn't want to be alone, and is manipulating the situation. Like, I love Christmas. I want to be with your family.
Right.
Well, there's something.
Yeah, and also not lose the kids in that sort of, like, right. that we're not separate or sentimental a little bit. I felt it was a, you know, kind of a little sentimental.
Yeah.
Like it might be the last one.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Gosh.
And you kind of feel that, like, when they're, you know, the next morning at Christmas unwrapping the gifts, like, you can feel the vibe at the fact that this is probably the last time that they're all going to be together.
Right.
You know, and so I feel like he's grasping to hang on to what little bit is left. And I don't know, as we get into the episode, I kind of have some feelings about Francis and Robert's relationship and what everyone thinks should happen.
So it is typical Francis, right, that she hasn't said anything yet? And he even says that and points that out, right? Mm-hmm. Like, just typical, you didn't pull the trigger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead, Talia.
Oh, no, I was just agreeing with you.
And so we see that he's really putting on the front, right? He's really charming the parents. He's already drunk pretty early on, so we know this is going to be eventful, as it usually is at Christmas and holidays. But we see this intimacy there, right? We see the intimacy with the family, with their parents. Robert Forrester plays dad, who I absolutely adore him, and he goes to breakfast at a restaurant by my house every single morning. So I'm hoping we're going to get him on.
Why, do you go to Silverstone's?
No, but Marco's is his favorite. 7 days a week. Okay. He has the same table every single morning. But, you know, Robert has a great rapport with them, and they clearly really care about him. Mm-hmm. But we see this farce move forward into the bedroom, right? And, like, I felt more manipulation of, like, you know, he's going to sleep in the bed because he has a bad back. And it's like, you invited yourself here, okay?
Right. I was surprised that she said sleep on the floor. I'm like, has it gotten that hostile? That was a little.
And he says, we've slept together 10,000 times without ever having sex, so this one time isn't really going
to. Very funny line. And just a shout out to Tom Sharpling, who was the writer here. And we're going to be seeing some really interesting, there's different writers for the next few episodes. The first few, I think, had Sharon Horgan predominantly. Tom Sharpling is a veteran of comedy. He's a writer, on-air guy. And, of course, he was a big part of Monk, one of my favorite
great
shows as well. So we kind of see his brand of comedy here. And I think it worked really well within the umbrella of this show.
Yeah. And Robert makes that comment where he says, at least we did two things right. And so, Talia, to your point of the sentimentality of, like, you know, they did do something right, at least, their children.
Right.
No, I think the episode's important because we've met them at a certain point. I thought, you know, that episode helps facilitate, like, their history, their sentimentality. Like, I think that also helps with their past relationship, you know.
It does, because we've been asking what the hell brought these two people together in the first place. Like, we haven't seen really the connection.
Mm-hmm. And I think that was what that also did. And then where they're at, their present and their past. So, which makes it very bittersweet.
It sure does.
I love meeting families in any show, even in a reality show. I feel like it rounds out their character to see where they came from, what her childhood bedroom was, where she grew up. I love that.
And Robert says something, and he says, I've always tried to do best for the family, but no matter how hard you try, mistakes get made. I felt like that was a little confessional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Francis is like, what do you mean? And he just says, good night. Mm-hmm. What did anyone else? How'd you feel about that, you guys?
I feel like it was a little bit of a dig.
Oh.
I feel like it's a little bit of a dig. Like, and we see him digging at her consistently throughout this episode where it's like, I mean, if he just had like a knife next to her, he was just poking her.
Right.
You know what I mean? He's poking the bear. And I feel like he was really just.
That was a digger.
Yeah, it was a dig.
I didn't know what to make of it, actually. Yeah. I thought it was cryptic.
It was cryptic.
Yeah.
He's been cryptic, right?
Well, the other thing, too, is because, you know, we've seen in past episodes amongst the friends that nobody really expects them to get divorced.
Right.
I think deep down inside, he doesn't want it either, which is why he went with the Mickey Mouse lawyer instead of the ruthless one.
Oh, interesting.
I don't think everyone's taking them seriously, even though it's a serious matter. And we see that also with her parents.
Yep. We absolutely do. And we see Robert continues to make a farce of this thing by saying, pleased to meet you in church, which is peace be with you. Right? He's really making an effort, but he clearly hasn't made one before or in a really long time. It's so awkward. And yeah, I feel like it's this funny show for the kids, right? And it is funny, and the kids can likely see right through it as we see through the episode. But we get a little side note. We see Nick and Diane and what their Christmas looks like, which I absolutely loved. Any thoughts about this?
I thought it was fantastic.
The first wife, the second wife, the digs, the adult children.
You know, it's one of those things where, you know, family, you get to a certain point in your relationships and you want to have the family all together where it's like, okay, well, this is the time and the only time. And it's like, you know, your drunk Aunt Kathy just divulging all the information when you don't want to hear it, you know. And the fact that he's, you know, the fact that Nick's first wife is just a bitter Betty, you know, because here we have Diane with the bigger house, the nicer house. And you see her even digging at the first wife like, oh, so who is your contractor with your first house?
Sure.
You know, so she can put in a pool.
And you can imagine that, you know, Nick just had a brush with death. Like, he's putting his life into perspective. Diane isn't drinking. Can you imagine if she was drinking at this? Oh, my God. Right? Maybe she was having a glass. I don't recall. But she seemed to be quite sober compared to her previous self. Mm. Mm-hmm. Right? And this is how contentious it is.
Right. Can you imagine? I just loved all of the... You know, I thought we would only ever see Robert and Francis' perspective, but I loved seeing all of the other families, and I loved how every single one of them was awkward in their own way, which is a common thread for all. You know, everyone has a family member that you wouldn't even speak to if you weren't related to them,
right,
or had to be with them. So I loved that they were all awkward.
All of them, and then we even get to see Julian's Christmas, right?
Yes.
So Talia, can you confirm? I mean, I have family in New Zealand, and I know this wonderful actor as being Kiwi. But do we know his nationality in this show? We know he's not French.
I thought it was South African, but I wanted to ask you as well, Talia.
I'm going Kiwi. I don't know.
His mom had the same accent.
Yes.
But I loved where he's talking about his opening. So he's an artist. Mm-hmm. And we know he's at the university and he makes granola. But he also had some kind of art show, and there were six bloggers there.
Excellent.
And his mother goes, impressive with a question mark? Like, I don't know what that even means. And then he gets delivered to the door a sock in the stomach from another angry husband. So clearly this is a pattern. Francis probably wasn't too special, and he got what he deserved.
Great. I think he's so great.
Oh, he's great.
Have you guys seen What We Do in the Shadows? It's
I haven't. I just was a big Flight of the Conchords.
Yeah, great Flight of the Conchords. Another one of those films in that vein from New Zealand about vampires. Really hilarious. I highly recommend it.
Well, you know, the thing is with Julian's character, and we see that because it's someone else's husband, he likes to attach himself to women that are already attached because he's not really one to settle down. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was interesting to see him get, you know, clocked in the
tummy. I loved it.
Right, and it reminds me, this is just funny, but it reminds me of that Bond film where Bond is basically, he delivers this one-liner and this girl says, oh, you know, what's wrong? Like, I'm not your type. You know, he said, you're not my type, and it's Ava Green. And he goes, she goes, why? I'm the intelligent type. He's like, no, he was talking about, you're not the married type. Like, and there are, maybe we've all known someone like that who makes a habit of attaching himself to married women.
Mm-hmm. And vice versa.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, women that do the same. Oh, sure.
Yeah, because if somebody was going to marry them, then they couldn't be that bad. I really think that's what some people think.
Or
right?
They don't have to commit.
Oh, yeah, no hassle.
Right.
Bigger, better deal. But then these days, that's like scary business because you could find someone hunting you down at your workplace or at your
house at Christmas.
At your house at Christmas.
Right. So we get the rest of this Christmas party, which is really awkward. We have Robert talking about how all these money jokes, which we know he doesn't have two pennies to rub together, and he's making everyone laugh about his rules of making money, you know. And he is needling her. Mm. He is really needling her. He's going on with this speech and then pushes her to the very edge and forces her hand. I know she's responsible for her behavior. We all are. But still, that was so awkward in front of all, as they said, the old people. right? Mm-hmm. That are on meds and right. old.
It was poor timing, definitely, on Robert's part.
Like everything else.
It's not the time to tell your entire family. Like, they're supposed to find out gossip style. Like, I tell mom and dad, she tells Aunt Susie. Aunt Susie tells Uncle
Is that
Joe.
How it's supposed
Isn't
to that happen?
How it's supposed That's to supposed go. To happen, you know, but not at Christmas dinner in front of, like, everyone.
A packed house.
Yeah, it was definitely a packed house. And, you know, it was interesting because you could see as he's egging her on that she's like, this isn't about to happen. Mm-hmm. This can't be happening right now. Mm-hmm. And it is. And it's sad. And it sucks.
I'm glad that she did it, though, because in true Frances style, she would have let the clock run out.
Right.
Right? And to mm-hmm. see her be put on the spot and to actually do it and rip the Band-Aid off. I mean, it was good to see, but painful.
I thought she was going to say, I opened a gallery.
Like, that
was
the big deal. Yeah.
Right, right. It's kind of similar to the episode a few weeks past where she kept trying to find the right time to tell the children. And it's the idea, and I can really relate to this. It's like, you want to somehow control the outcome, that there really isn't going to be a perfect time.
Right.
You know, you want to control how it's going to be, and you can't.
And it's a big lesson in losing control, because if you had control, your divorce wouldn't be falling apart in the first place, right? Like, we don't have control. We have control of ourselves.
Right.
And that's about it. And so we get a bit of a confessional from Frances, right? And Robert won't walk away when she's telling her parents what happened.
Yes.
And he steps up. And as he self says, that he you know, landed on a grenade for her for Christmas. Do we feel that was selfless?
In that moment, I think so. That was one of those moments where I got choked up. I was like, oh my God, he really loves her. He can't bear to see her struggling like this. Later on, he manipulated it and used it to his advantage.
I thought it was a manipulation.
He
doesn't want anyone to know that he's been cuckolded. Like, that's the biggest thing for a man is, like, I wasn't good enough for her, and she went and found someone else.
Okay.
So Tell me, what do you think?
Yeah.
I think it's both. I think he meant it, but I think probably subtext, I mean, definitely that was in there. Like, he didn't want that announcement made
right.
on his character, you know?
All
right. And to affect
I don't know. I mean, you're right.
The
didn't
parents.
Take a bullet. I mean, or was it completely self-serving? I those are the questions that I like.
Yes.
You know? It could be one or the other, or both.
Or both.
Yeah, I feel like I think that Frances in her mind has this, she idolizes her parents, and she wants to have that perfect relationship, or so she thinks is perfect. And he knows that. Mm. He knows that about her. Mm-hmm. That's why it's so hard for her to tell them. That's why it's so hard to deliver these bad information, because she's in this bubble of what a family should be like.
That's a great insight.
And, you know, now that she's had to put herself out there, and he's the one that forced her hand in the most obnoxious way, this is his little way of, one, once again hanging on, two, making it up to her, and three, just being like, you know, I don't know, he just wanted to make it up to her to a certain degree.
I think she also doesn't want to be judged by people she respects. Like, she loves her children.
Yeah.
She was hard for her to tell them. She loves her parents. It was hard for her to tell them.
Yeah.
But I think that's a great observation in the sense that when we see her with her mom in the backyard, right? I think all of us can relate to this. I mean, we all have moms on some level. Of her just saying, like, you know, have you given him a chance? And her being like, how am I doing?
Right.
Which I think is such a realistic thing, because I can tell you when I went after Talia, well, 1 year marriage, like a year and a half, it didn't go well. I go to my parents, I go to my mom and say, you know, this is what's happening. And it was the exact same reaction. You know, like, what are you doing? Like, are you sure? What is your problem? Kind of. And I'm like, no, I need support right now. But
right.
that doesn't always
And also
happen.
The cat's out of the bag. I mean, you can't go backwards after
you
that.
You cannot.
That's a scary moment.
Yeah, and it is interesting how the parents, you know, nobody really takes them seriously that they're really going to get divorced, right? We know that Frances' history of pulling the trigger isn't very good.
Mm-hmm.
So for her to be the one initiating this and pushing it, you know, I think people kind of go, they'll figure it out. But she wants to feel like her parents see and acknowledge. I think she really needs acknowledgement.
Yeah.
You know, she even says, she says, you know, she says that people have affairs because they're unhappy. And we learn earlier in the kitchen that she says that, you know, I hadn't been happy and I didn't say anything. And I wanted him to notice and he didn't notice, and so it got worse. word to the wise, folks, when you don't say anything, it gets worse, period, every single time.
Thank you. I wrote red flag, red flag.
Sometimes it's a funny thing because there are times in relationships when you see it going off the rails and you will do anything to get it back on because you're so in love with the person and you so, or rather you are attached to the idea that this is not going to fail.
Right.
But sometimes people just get tired and they get to the point where things are going off the rail and they're like, all right, let's see what happens now. We're both don't fight. I mean, does that
let
make
it
sense?
Go.
Yeah. Let's see where this goes.
Well, I think the lesson in their interaction, or therefore lack of, is the fact that they need to communicate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And because they hadn't communicated, this is why this is where it's at now. Mm-hmm. She didn't communicate her feelings about his college friend. Therefore,
right,
you know, she kind of did her thing.
Right.
You know, and then he didn't communicate. He's not a good communicator.
Well, he's
we
a
see
man,
that.
So, you know,
we see that.
There's a limit. But we get that little tiny golden Easter egg from mom, which is, yeah, but sometimes people have affairs because they're fun. Because it's fun. And we hope that no one will ever find out.
Right. And that's why when we were looking at this before we went, the show started, I said, and that's why it's so wonderful to have experienced women in your life, ladies, because, you know, put it this way, they have been working at the ice cream shop longer than you have, and they've tasted all the flavors. And often they're not, it's just funny, whenever I've often had ladies in my life that are, you know, maybe a few decades older than me, and it's really great because often when you're scared to tell somebody something, their reaction is often just really mellow. It's just like, oh yeah, well, you know, this
join
happened to
club.
Me. Yeah, like, put it this way, it's not the end of the world. You know what I mean?
Right,
you're like,
right.
You think it's like your news is the most, you know, ground shaking news. This is gonna rock your world.
There.
And they're like, yawn.
Yawn. Right? I feel like Dallas is kind of would be like that. Like, oh honey, you know, I feel for you, but like, come on, this isn't earth shattering breaking news.
Right.
But I think
like look what Dallas survived, you know.
Yeah,
it's
amazing.
Trying to survive, and same with, you know, Sarah's the mom, you know, Dorothy Lyman is wonderful, and everyone.
And she has great sage advice, which I have to say was similar to some of the advice I received as well from my mom. Although I was really disappointed in the way I was received, she was also kind of like, you know, you might have approached this from a naive perspective, like respect and friendship are the basis of a successful marriage. And, you know, I don't know that you guys ever had that, right? And I kind of look at Robert and Frances and wonder, we've been wondering, Talia, did she get pregnant? Like, what was the deal?
Because
we
don't, heard you guys,
we don't
I don't know,
see
to be revealed, right?
Yeah. We don't see the chemistry, I feel like, as an audience. As you're watching it, as it unfolds, up until now, have you really felt like you could see why they were together in the first place?
Well, that's what I was saying about this episode. So you can see sort of their history, which is important to inform the rest of it, because I think when we meet them, they're in this other place in their lives. Mm. So, you know, how that, I think we'll see more of that, you know, because it exists. But I like, you know, it started at this point, you know, midstream. So not at their best moments together.
Absolutely. And I have to say that every episode, I feel like we're getting, I feel like it's a gift, right? We get some new information. We get taken down the path just a little bit farther. Mm. I do feel like the reaction to the show has been pretty bipolar, right? There's a lot of, you know, my roommate, a man, is to the roof, like, I hate it. Tell them all I hate it. I'm like, okay, great. Do you have any other, like, adjectives you could use? No, hate it. Okay, great. That's great. Well, you know, he's uncomfortable, frankly, right? And so I think this really pushes audiences to, can you see past this uncomfortable situation into the humanity and find the humor and find the humanity, or are you just going to be repelled at the idea?
Well, what's his, does he hate it and think it's not, like, or truthful, or, like, not, you know, like,
I think
his,
it's honestly, you know, just subject matter. Never been married, not divorced, not really any, like, familiarity with what maybe the...
Oh, you can't relate to it.
No, he can't.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, as I'm divorced, I had this 1 second marriage, but it was devastating, nonetheless, to go through that experience. And so I watch this show, and I think it's fucking hysterical. Excuse my language, but it is.
Even if you've never been married, I feel like it's just an exploration of a relationship that's so fascinating.
But so many people, I think, wouldn't want to look through that magnifying glass.
Right.
Because it's real. Mm.
That's exactly what it is. I think that because of the content of the context of the show and how real it is, people are afraid. It's like you almost start to relive certain parts of your own personal experience attached mm-hmm. to it, whether you're have gone through a divorce or going through a breakup, or, you know, parents have been yep. divorced, because it's, you know, you see it from every angle, like, you know, the girlfriends yes. and from the kids and from the parents and then from them as a couple, or therefore lack of being a couple. Mm-hmm. So it's
I also like where it goes to, like, the lawyers. Once there are people intervening, and then it's right. all of a sudden it's not your divorce anymore, it's some other animal. I love that idea, like mm-hmm. where that's going to. It's like you start out one way, and all of a sudden it gets taken, it gets, you know, right. by another force.
And you have I didn't remember the word last week. What was it? Your adversary, but they're the person that fights on behalf of you.
Mediators, and then you move into lawyerdom, and then, you
but
know,
essentially the idea
the
that each people is a gun for each person is a gun for hire that's mm-hmm. going to fight to the death to win.
Oh, your whether, advocate?
Yes, your advocate. It's like, you know, you've got these different people advocating for you. Choose wisely, folks. Mm. But I also think, too, I mean, no one ever wants to think this could happen to them.
Right.
And that's another reason that people may not want to watch, right? They don't want to make that leap, right? But that's what a really amazing, successful show does, is it makes us feel something, right? Love it, hate it. Either way, at least people are feeling something and they're not going, meh.
Yeah, and it's
yeah,
funny.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
When people are falling in love, and I always use the word the fantasía, they're in this whole world, and they look at these type of things and go, this will never happen to us.
We're immune.
Yes, we're immune. They don't want to believe it could happen to them, right. And then there it is.
FYI, it's called oxytocin. It's the love hormone. You get it from sex and having babies. And it's the love drug, and we're all on drugs when we're in love. So just remember that, inside drugs. That's why it's so fun. All right. So we're going to have to let you go, Talia. Thank you so incredibly
thank
much
you.
For hanging out well, with us and giving us your perspective.
Sure. Ladies, thank you so
this
much.
Is awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah. Keep on rocking.
Yeah.
Thanks.
We can't wait to see the rest. Have a great night.
Bye.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that was really a treat.
Awesome.
Wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. It was
Did
very
I say
generous.
Wrong? Is it Talia, not Talia?
No, it's Talia.
Okay.
Talia.
I was just
Talia.
Talia. Yeah. Well, I'm so grateful that she hung out with us.
That
what
was awesome.
Really amazing
yeah.
lady that we could all probably learn something
that we're
from.
Watching and we get to ask her.
And what
questions.
A career.
Yes.
A sane career. You know what I mean? Right. That goes on for decades and decades and decades and works in theater, right. TV, you name
so
it.
Rare.
That's a darn successful career.
It yeah. absolutely is. I think she's something, I don't know, I'm looking up to her right now, really, as someone, you know, a professional woman that we can all look up to, who with class and grace and just... Cheers to you,
amazing.
Talia Balso. We're
yeah.
so happy.
And she just seems to get prettier, too, just because I like looking at her. I like
right.
how she looks. Do you
she's
know what
a
I mean?
Great face,
but
yeah.
she just, I mean, this is someone who's been working for many decades, and she's very, like, pretty.
Yeah, absolutely. I loved her in Mad Men, just
yeah.
as Mona.
Oh,
did you guys watch Mad Men?
Mona Sterling?
Yeah, Mona Sterling.
Oh,
yeah, Mona Sterling yeah.
I just absolutely love that show. I miss it so much. So we're coming down to the close here. I wanted to know if anyone has news and gossip they'd like to share.
Second season, it's been renewed.
Yay!
On
I didn't
Sarah
know that.
Jessica's Instagram.
Okay, so
yay.
That's a big deal.
Yes.
Because a lot of people were saying when this came out, too dark, never going to last.
Well, they proved them wrong.
That's fantastic.
We'll show you.
Right?
They said
other
it wouldn't
news?
Last.
No, I just keep loving the clothes, though. I don't know. Did you say once they're trying to make them frumpy? I think she looks fabulous.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I think it was the colors
okay.
and like the textures,
dark.
And it's mm-hmm. a lot of it's a lot darker. Her
yeah.
hair, everything is a lot darker.
But Sarah Jessica has the best hair. Like
yeah.
even if you're trying to be like mumsy yeah. or whatever, like
yeah.
you know, not a city girl, she has great hair. And
it
can't
is.
Fake
and
it.
Just FYI, I have a good friend. We used to be roommates, and her hair is very SJP when it's not treated right. But so we would call it Trans Am hair because it was just so 80s, like crazy.
I love 80s.
Oh,
hair.
I just watched LA Story and her hair was
yes!
all ringlets.
Okay.
Yes,
gorgeous.
Yes,
so
yes.
Or, I loved her hair.
She's
that.
Got great hair.
But that's not like really what
really
people are going
Am.
For.
The
yeah. So what she would, my girlfriend, what my roommate would do was she'd have to like blow dry it all out straight and then curl it. And she would have the most unreal hair. I was so jealous. But when I saw what had to go on with that process,
oh, right.
it was like, oh, it starts the Trans Am. It does.
Yeah. That is funny.
And for you kids at home, that's an old 80s vehicle.
Yeah.
The other thing I just wanted to mention is that Robert Forster does actually go to breakfast outside my house like every single day. So I'm going this week to go down there
awesome.
And talk to him.
You're awesome.
And see if we could get him on the show because I think that'd be really fun.
Yeah.
And then moving on, we have predictions.
Mm. Oh.
Should we make it interesting? We should do a bet or something.
Well, Miriam.
She has a few already in.
You're really on something here. Okay, well, what are your predictions? What do we want to wager? What do you think is going to happen?
This is crazy sauce right now, but I think they might get back together.
Really?
They might reconcile briefly.
For a minute.
Yeah.
Okay.
I hate to be so dark, but maybe like a little, like a mini tragedy, like something with the kids, God forbid. Yeah. Not, you know, it's not a reality show.
Right.
That brings them together and they reconcile for a brief time.
Oh.
I don't know where I just came up with that.
Yeah, Miriam, the Oracle. Tell us what do you think is
going to
happen?
Magical.
All right. You know, honestly, I think because everyone feels like they're going to get back together, we're going to still continue on this path.
Right.
They will always be a team. Mm-hmm. They have two children together. They'll always be a team. But I do agree with you. There will be something that brings them together. I don't know if it's the children or, like, a parent's death or, like, you know, but something that's really close to both of them will bring them together. And then I don't see them, getting back together, but the thought might cross their mind for a hot second.
Mm-hmm. So we have 4 episodes left. Mm. And we didn't mention that the son did hear everything that dad said in the car.
That was
a pretty great way to leave it, right? Of like, actually, just heard everything you said about mom fornicating. But also, you know, we see the scenes from the next and where she finds out about his debt. That he has left their family in deep, deep debt.
Yeah.
And I think the attorneys are going to come into play in the next one, big time, because here is the dad, Francis's dad, that Robert really looks up to, who's like, you're going to do right by my daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he says to him and gives him his word that he will. So I predict there might be like a family flim flam showdown, hoot nanny, I don't know what we want to call it, but, you know, he made that promise to his father-in-law, and now he has the most heinous attorney of all time that's going to probably try to destroy Francis, which is not keeping your commitment.
Right. I like how he says, you need to cut your hair.
Right? And the mustache, and he goes, no, that bitch magnet. Like,
that's a great scene.
Clearly, I can't wait to see that scene. Clearly, it's not, because it smells musty.
Eey, but, gross.
Okay, that's all the time we have for today. We're going to have to come up with a wager for next time. But I've been your lead host, Oriana Leo. You can find me on Twitter at Miss Oriana Leo or Instagram Oriana Leo. And I'm so grateful for my panel of amazing women. Please tell us where we can find you.
Constance Dunn. You can check me out on Instagram or Twitter, Constance Dunn.
Miriam Gonzalez, you can find me on Twitter at Miriam L. Gonzalez.
Fern Ronay, you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or Snapchat at Fern Ronay. And my novel, Better in the Morning, is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold.
Ooh. Can't wait to read it. Aww. We didn't get time for a tilt tip this week, but we will next week, I promise. So if anyone has any health, fitness, beauty, any kind of questions, tweet me. We'll get to them. Until next time for episode 7. Bye, guys.
Ciao.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.